الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight's talk, honorable brothers, we'll divide it into three parts. Number one, we will speak of our trip to South America. Secondly, we will speak about what's happening currently in Muslim countries and different parts of the world. And third, I know many of you have questions, so inshallah, whatever question you have, then inshallah that we will sort out and try and answer your questions right in the ending. Let's start. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday. What are we supposed to do tonight? Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a rawi, the reporter. Hazrat Shaykh Mona Zakariya nawwarallahu marqadahu, when he was well. Many of our brothers think that Hazrat Shaykh was always in a wheelchair. No. When Hazrat Shaykh used to teach initially in Saharanpur, he could walk. So nevertheless, when Hazrat Shaykh was well, then daily he used to read two rakat salat for the rawi, the reporter of this hadith, Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu anhu. When they asked Hazrat Shaykh Nawwarallahu marqadahu, why you read daily for this sahabi? He said he made such ihsan and favor on us. He came to Nabi alayhi salatu salam and asked, Ya Rasulullah, you read so many du'as, so show us one few words, one sentence that is complete and comprehensive, and all the du'as are included. So Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abu Umama al-Bahili, read Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever Nabi alayhi salam asked, I ask for that. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا اسْتَعَاذَ مِنْهُ نَبِيُّكَ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Whatever Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought protection from, the I seek protection. See how complete and comprehensive the dua is. So he, Hazrat Shaykh Nawwarallahu marqadahu, daily used to read two rakat salat for Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. Me and you, when last we read two rakat for any sahabi? Once I was at Jeddah airport, and I was in the queue. My wife was there sitting. So some ladies came, and they told my wife, move. You know, move. So she moved. Then they started speaking. I asked her, from where you are? She said, South Africa. They asked her, you know Mufti AK? So she started laughing. You know? She said, what you laughing? So now I'm the wife. She said, oh, you Fatima. And they all jumped up. You know. So this type of thing. See, we must meet him. Young girls, they came with their parents from Kuwait. So, mashallah, I was in the queue. They phoned. Say, no, we must. I said, no, I'm in the queue. You want to wait, wait there. Cut long story short, one message they gave me. They said, you taught us on the radio that when we go specially Madina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama, at least read two rakat salat for Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. Read for Siddiqah Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, we did everything what you told us. So we just came to convey that message to you and Jazakallah khair. See, we must learn these qualities. people, what ihsan they did for us. Out of sight, out of mind. So anyway, we used to come back to our topic. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a surat al-dukhan yawm al-jumu'ah aw laylat al-jumu'ah, that whosoever reads surah dukhan, surah number 44, on the day of jumu'ah, on the night of jumu'ah, banallahu lahu biha baytan fil jannah, Allah will grant that person a palace in Jannah. So tonight, my brothers, the hadith in Tabarani, tonight or tomorrow we should be reading surah dukhan. It's just 4 pages, how long it will take us? Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qara'a surat al-kahf yawm al-jumu'ah adaa'a lahu min an-nur ma bayna al-jumu'atayn." You read during the daytime surah Kahf, Allah Ta'ala blesses you with radiance, effulgence from one Friday to the next. It's authentic hadith in Sunan Nasa'i. "Man qara'a surat al-kahf laylat al-jumu'ah adaa'a lahu ma baynahu wa bayna al-bayt al-atiq." When a person reads surah Kahf on the night of Friday to night, so Almighty Allah will bless him with nur effulgence from where he is, Peter Marisburg, mountain rise, whatever, right from here, right till Baytullah, Kaaba Musharrafah. The hadith is mentioned in Darmi. So see the rewards. One day we don't have lights, you know, ANC and no current, then you know how many problems we have in this type of thing. Anyway, so that's the first thing, Surah Dukhan. Second thing, remember Surah to read, Surah Kaf. Third one, Akthiru alayya min as-salati yawm al-jumu'ah. Abundant durood, salawat, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day we're supposed to read, but the quantity we must increase on the night of Friday and the day. We were coming today from Camperdown, you heard Mawlana say. So we came, Mawlana Venkat Sahib, Allah give him jazai khair, making ada and qaza, more and more programs every day, mashallah. So this program, from where I got the news, is a program here, from Brazil. Your people, Mawlana Abdul Ghani is a sharpshooter with that thing, you know this. Yeah. So Yunus phoned me, see, you got a program here. I said, no, the program in Durban. He said, no, message came from Brazil, program is here. He said, Mawlana Venkat told me it's in Durban. After 3-4 hours, Mahana phoned to say the program is there. So in Brazil they knew already the program is there. I never knew. Anyway, so the best gift for the best of Almighty Allah's creation, the best day of the week, is salawat and durood and salutations. So we are coming now, it started hailing. And mashallah, I'm hearing the hail. Maulana also, mashallah, is driving. Just two of us. I didn't bring my wife this time. She's finished after the South American trip. Tired and retired. So, start reading Durood Sharif one way. Say, Ya Allah, this is now big hails. Subhanallah. So, after just 5 minutes, stop. See, Durood Sharif, mashallah, anytime. Not only when you have problems now. So, every time try and read it, inshallah. Okay, let's come to our topic, brothers. This was just, you know, introduction, starters. Okay, let's start our topic. It is just the grace, fadl, mercy of Almighty Allah. For 4 weeks, we went to South America, my wife, myself. Marathon trip. By the time we reached Argentina, we were in the plane for about 26, 27 hours. Let's take it from Rio. When we touched Brazil, Rio was just the airport. I was in France. It was the fever, World Cup fever. One thing South Africa exported to that part of the world is the vuvuzela. So there, I remember, goal goes, own goal goes, that vuvuzela is blowing like you can't believe. The imam sahab also get mixed up in Tarawi like that it is. You must remember this time. Your Mufti Bilal sahab, kaya Mufti Bilal sahab. He was our imam there also, mashallah. So anyway, so now they say, we ready to take the cup the 6th time. Everywhere posters, it doesn't. We in the plane now. So now we're leaving. Here the pilot announced. 1-0. Brazil losing. 3-0. Half time, 5-0. These chips are all finished in the plane. Half crying, and looking down, and this. And I'm laughing. Watu izzu man tasha, watu zillu man tasha. You thought you're going to bring the World Cup, it will give you honor, you got so disgraced, never in your life you got such an idea. See, this is Allah's system. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ. When we reached there, Buenos Aires, or when we went to school, they should tell us Buenos Aires, but they were there, they all say Buenos Aires, or whatever you want to say. So when we reached there, they announced 7-1, final score. Understand? What a disgrace. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَىٰ وَتُذِلُّ. While I'm speaking of this, when I came back to Brazil, now we can't speak Portuguese and Spanish and all. So we want to buy something or say something, and it's seven. So I just write there, Brazil, Germany. What score? You look down here. So right, understand. So you must give them also something. So anyway, so we can't speak, so now it is right. All right. So now we land there in Buenos Aires. It's Ramadan. MashaAllah, the Maulana came and fetch us. Now let's speak of Argentina. Five countries I have to take you through. Number one, Argentina. What is Argentina? MashaAllah, beautiful country, very nice everything. You know, no fear, people are very friendly, over friendly, just now you will understand. Buenos Aires, you must remember that the whole of Argentina, only six masajid, whole country. You come to our lands alone, 35 masjid. And Ramadan time, if you come to lands, the muazzins, I think they got competition, who can tune it up more. You understood? Full blast they put it. So anyway, you don't hear azan, you don't hear anything. So let's start with the masajid. The biggest masjid, that's what they tell us, in South America, is in Palmero, there in Buenos Aires, built by the Saudis. But the place where it is situated, there are not many Muslims there. So besides Ramadan, if you go there, you might find 5, 10, 20 people only. Even one surf you won't find. So it is not strategically placed. But anyway, they have a school there and everything. Very big ground, mashallah. Very beautiful masjid. Can accommodate over 2,000 people. So alhamdulillah. There's a sheikh there, Sheikh Ruwayli from Saudi. They say he's a hafiz of hadith, thousands of hadith. So I really wanted to meet him. We went there and it was Asr time, but we missed the Jamaat. So we read on our own, and then when I went, I saw he's busy with classes, so I didn't feel it right. So anyway, just left it. But see, when we try to do something, Allah also makes the means. So that night we went to Al-Barti Masjid, also in Buenos Aires. And there, I find Sheikh is delivering a lecture. Sheikh is there many years, he speaks Portuguese and everything, Spanish, there they speak Spanish. Whole South America, they speak Spanish, but in Brazil, they speak Portuguese. So he was I was very happy. He read the Isha Salat, he read the 8 Rakats Taraweeh. Now, I'm just giving you the report, I'm not saying he's right in there. So he read the 8 Rakats Taraweeh, Witr, everything. And thereafter, when we meet him, so mashallah, we spoke all that, so it was very nice we met him. This Al-Barti Masjid, even just before Ramadan, I was in Malaysia, and I went to the 5-6 masajid, the biggest masajid, 20,000, 15,000, 10,000 people, no big masjid like that in South Africa. Subhanallah, everywhere I went, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, and here, in Al-Barti Masjid, built by the Egyptians and the Syrians and Lebanese 50 years ago or more. You see, we are here in the masjid, the imam is here, the men are here. No parda, no hijab, nothing. You just find the ladies there behind. So this is becoming very common. We're speaking about ladies, they bring the ladies right inside the masjid. No parda. Obviously, it's not acceptable. But I'm just giving you what is the situation. The main masjid that I was in is called Onsi. It is still not a masjid, it's a musalla. And that is where our South African ulama are. That has become the markaz of Argentina now, the headquarters, for tabligh activities, everything. When I went there, mashallah, the brothers from Brunei were there. Each one speaking excellent English. So I was very, surprised. I said, brother, what? Everyone a professional, qualified, six of them. Anyway, we had one to program, Jumma there, everything. There, 90%, 80% of the lectures that you deliver were in Arabic. About 5% in English and 1-2% in English and 5% in Urdu. So there, when you go, you have to give lectures in Arabic and so forth. So anyway, so that was in Argentina, the first day, first 2-3 days. In Buenos Aires, brothers. Now to take you to the country. They had their day of independence that Thursday. I arrived there on Tuesday. Monday we left and Tuesday we arrived there. That Thursday was their day of independence. 198 years ago they got their freedom, independence from Spain. Now when you go downtown, you will see there where the trains are. Subhanallah. From here, right till your, that board there, even further, is written on the wall, La ghaliba illallah, La ghaliba illallah. But nobody knows beside the Muslim, even how the Muslims can't read it. So there is no might, no power, no one to overpower the enemy except Almighty Allah. Beautiful mosaic tiles and so forth, fascinating. But they got the dustbin stuck on it, somebody is putting there, somebody got their shoes there. And, you know, in Afrikaans we say man khapla attitude, you know. So no care. So anyway, it's still there. And that conductor or whoever was amazed, he said, for what you coming here to? We say, we don't want to go in the train, nothing. We just want to see that. So he said, fine, okay, just go and see. So that was something very good for us. In this Onsi Masjid, mashallah, you find a lot of brothers from Senegal. Jummah time, when I had to deliver the lecture and khutbah and so forth, I see so many African brothers. Hey, from what they doing here? He said, no, Argentina is very nice. When you come, you get 3 months visa. And then if they catch you after 3 months now, expired, 6 months, 10 months, see what's wrong? Say, no. Say, no problem. They don't lock you up, no fine, nothing. They say, okay, go sort out your papers. So it suits them fine, you know, this type of thing. Now listen about Argentina, brothers. I told you about over-friendly business. With fakhr and pride, they say this. Listen, we adults here. That they say, in our country, you won't find a girl normally who's a virgin until or unless she is 13 years old and younger. So meaning from 14 years and above, 90% of them are active already. So active, I am walking like this in the street. My wife is with me, somebody will just tap me here. When I look, is a woman, lady, what's wrong? She say, no, come take snap with me. You understand? Therefore, you young brothers, don't go alone. You Dublin jata hai, double okar wapas aate. You go there, you will come back double just now. Maybe triple also. You understand? So it's not the country, just you go like that. It's a dangerous country also. So even for the Maulanas, I tell him, get married and then you go. So anyway, brothers, it's common just. The porter will pick up the luggage and the passenger is a female. So now he... Thank you, no thank you. She'll come and kiss him. That is, yeah. Now we made pakku everything. Thank you very much. It's common. Kiss anybody, everybody. You buy something in the shop, the lady will just take out the hand and she likes you, she'll kiss you also. So that is the culture. See, brothers, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, you find in Mishkat Sharif, Bayhaqi, everywhere. Innal imana wal haya aqurana. When you have iman and you have haya, shame and modesty, then they are partners. Idha rufiya ahaduhuma rufiya al-akhir. Iman goes away, the haya, shame, modesty is gone. Shame, modesty is gone, iman gets weaker, weaker till it disappears. Where are we today? Think about it seriously. So anyway, that was there. Our next stop was Kilmes, where our Mufti Sahib was the Imam, mashallah. Beautiful recitation, 20 rakats to read. And there we had a Palestinian Jamaat, 4 brothers. So they told me to speak and so forth. So I told them I've been there many times. So they were so happy and fascinated. Few things we had to teach them also. So mashallah, so it was very good to meet them and so forth. So with the barakat of the work of our ulama, now see our ulama brothers, I can't take their name, they don't want. But anyway, in the prime of their life, they left South Africa, they took their wives, with this intention, Ya Allah, we are making hijrat. What a big sacrifice, you know brother. When I used to look at them, sometimes their wives speaking to my wife, and then they crying. You know, because you think of your family, some are expecting, there's no support. Family support, nothing. Everything is abnormal actually. You can't speak the language, you don't know the environment, you don't have family, you want to buy bread, you want to buy milk, you go there, every shop is selling almost alcohol. It's absolutely normal. How we drink water, the hotel we stayed there in Buenos Aires is called Abestos Hotel, right in the heart, the biggest mall is just opposite. First thing I did when we landed there and after we rested, I told Fatima, let me take you to the shop first of all. When they make all the programs, we won't have no time. So we went to the mall and everything also. When you go in the hotel, they just got there all the signs. Tango hall and this hall. Wine, dine and swine and tango. Tango is dancing and jiving. Partying is their culture. From Thursday night, Friday night, the parties will start till 2-3. After Taraweeh, right till Sehri and after that also. They love their parties. They in Kilmes also. You can just hear them making noise with the vuvuzela and scoring. Anyway, very nice Muslim community there as well. There also our brothers are there and the Palestinian Jamaat. From there we went to Rosario. There also, mashallah, South African Alim is there, and we went to the masjid. Fajr time there were 3-4 brothers. So I said, let me give a talk to them. Because there is not everywhere you get big crowds. Sometimes small, sometimes big. Other one brother, white brother, what's your name? Say Abdul Qadir. So the African brother does say, I say, what's your name? He say, Hussein. I say, bhai, my name Abdul Qadir Hussein, and you Abdul Qadir, and you Hussein. So this time. So anyway, we had nice discussion, everything, spoke and everything with them. From there we went to Mar del Plata. What a beautiful place. Mar del Plata is like your Durban. You go December, January, packed to capacity, you can't get place. Millions of people flock there. Because of the beaches and so forth. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's grandson-in-law, put it that way, his granddaughter is there. So mashallah, that they're doing great, great work there. Now, our South Africans, listen carefully. 1-2 brothers, Allah put in their heart, said, no, we must have masjid. From ground, right till the top, 4 floors, they put up, what a beautiful masjid. South Africans only, no from here and there. I spent 3 days there, mashallah, and such great work. First week September, our Honorable Ustad Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Aqsaab and them, Hafizullah, they're going, inshallah, for the official opening. Last night also I was there with Hazrat. So I told him, Hazrat, that this is the masjid, you're going to go there, and it is so good. And the hadith you were teaching yesterday was all about masajid, Kitabul Masajid. So anyway, the point I'm making, brothers, that the work of Dawah, Tabligh, all that is going on. But on the other side, you must remember, when we go into the history, listen carefully. This is not stories. That is when your heart bleeds, when you cry. When you look at history, then you will find, like how our forefathers, majority of them came from India 100, 120, 150 years ago. So our Arabs from Syria, from Lebanon, from Palestine, these primarily these countries. So they came there 70, 80 years ago. One thing they all, or majority of them, preserve is the shajara. They are family tree. Some of them, the tree goes to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Some go to Miqdad radiallahu anhu. Someone goes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. But when you start coming down, where's your father? Where's your grandfather? So they all became murtad and they left Islam. Hazrat Mawlana Alimiya, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Nadwi Rahimullah wrote the sentence, and all of you must remember this. He said, "Jo Hindustan, the Indian Muslim went to various parts of the world. 3 things they did. One, when they went, they put up a masjid. You start from Port Shepstone and come down to Newcastle, and our forefathers came here, right in the heart of town, here in Marisburg, your Church Street and all that. So you must remember that they put up masjid. Next to the masjid, they put up madrasa. And then they put up maqbara, they put up a graveyard. So we must remember this, they preserve the identity of the Muslim. But our Arab brothers, halahadahumullah, that when they went at that time, they assimilated totally with the locals. So much so, I saw this myself in these countries, that proper Arabs, they don't even know Alif Ba Ta Sa. They forgot their language, they lost their deen, they forgot everything. You find some couples, it happened to me also, that the brother will come, I'm Muslim. But you know, my wife is not Muslim. But Sunday I go to church. I say, why you go to church? He said, no, I have to take my wife a little bit. But I'm Muslim. Now I ask him, now what about your children? He said, no, my children, I want proper Muslim, no good church and all this kind of thing. So slowly now the third, fourth generation, or third or second generation, are realizing that they made a big mess by assimilating with the locals, and the whole deen left them. But Allah's system, Allah's mercy, Allah is using South African ulama, South African huffaz, so many of them, and few brothers are arranging this whole journey for them. Wherever you go, wherever I went, you just find the South African ulama and huffaz. Someone is performing tarawih, someone made hijrat, someone is crying there, I want to go home. One father, when I came back, I phoned 90% of the parents. I met your son, my wife met your daughter, your grandchildren. Whatever it is, one father told me, my son, the way he cried each day. I say, why he was crying? He say, missing the family too much. So I said, don't worry, we went through all that in our life. 40 years ago, 1974, when we were in Karachi, there were no phone and fax and email and all these things there. So each day come, I still remember very well, we just go in the corner there and then you cry. Not one Pakistani also give you dawat also. You understand? So this type of thing. You say, yeah, kyu aaya yahan? They'll tell you upside down, for what you had to come here. And this type of thing. It was like that in those days, you see. So I asked him, what you do? What you did when he said, oh. He said, no, I asked him, you will come home. He said, no, Abba, I can't come home. What will happen to the ummah here? So they got that fikr, they went to that fikr, subhanallah. Anyway, this Mala Plata was very, very exciting because they have a markaz, proper masjid and people. Now the non-Muslims, they can see a structure coming up and outside the beautiful mosaic tiles. So they stop there to see what's going on. Now I can't speak to them, I don't know Spanish, we learn one, two words and all that. So then we call somebody because I have to walk from the hotel every day. Then you see them stopping the car, looking in. Each day they had over 100 people performing Eid Salat there. It's like telling you, yeah, in Eidgah you had 30,000-40,000 people. That is the equivalent like. Because there was no Islam at all there. So you must remember. Anyway, so that was Mother Plata. Then we had to come back to Buenos Aires and so forth. Then we went to Uruguay, second country. Now listen, for us, yeah, in Marisburg, our brothers, you got so much uplang, what your uplang, you can do this and this type of thing. Not for me, you do for yourself, for your family. The whole country got 3 million people, 3.5 million people. There's not one single masjid there. There's not one madrasa there. Your Maulana, I'll take his name, Abdul Ghani. I believe his father is sick. Allah Ta'ala give him Shifa Kamil. And he traveled 3-4 hours just to come meet me there. And he said that no, he's taking me to one brother. I said, very good, I want to meet somebody. So he came to meet me and we went to this Indian brother. So I asked him, aap yahan kya kar rahe ho? So he said, no, he's doing IT work and they send 140 or so Hindus and 10, 12 Muslims. I said, no, very good, you must stay here. So we went to his house all that late at night because my flight was late also. Nevertheless, to cut the long story short, so I asked him, how many Muslims you know here? He said, 85. I say, masjid? He say, 0. Madrasa, 0. I say, aapka parte tarawih on chumma? He said, next to the Egyptian embassy, they have a muswalla, and it is open once a week, and in Ramadan, for Jumma, and during the other time, 11 months, or in Ramadan rather, it is open Maghrib and Isha as well. So imagine you have a situation, one musalla in the whole country, whole week is closed, and only Jumma it opens. So what that tells you? Can't we take, when we had our meetings all that, I said, brothers, you're going now. You can't forget Uruguay, you're doing, we say Uruguay, they all say Uruguay, so we say Uruguay also now. So anyway, this Uruguay is right in the middle. What a beautiful country. When you go, your people, Joburg, Durban, you pass your midlands, you know, all the farms and all that, same, just like that it is. The amount of animals they export to all the Arab countries, excellent ties they got, but no one thought of a masjid, anything. Imagine. How many thousand people, Muslims, there must be there who just became murtad out of the fall of Islam. Now see, brothers, when we don't have ulama, then what happens? So from there, I go to Brazil. I come into a place called Santana. There also our Maulana, mashallah, they are there. South African ulama were there for tarawih. So that Imam, all Palestinians, full Palestinians. So that Imam there, he says, the Sheikh, he says, today one big Sheikh came, maybe he saw my size and all that, you know. So he's going to deliver the talk and everything. So every night they read 8 rakat tarawih. So he says, tonight we're reading 4 rakat tarawih, and the Sheikh will then give a lecture. From 8 he made it even 50% discount, 4 rakat. He reads tarawih like this. Let's see, Qibla, this is an example just to explain. Waladdallin. Tarawih, right? Then he's got his Quran Sharif open there, then he moves like this. He turns the page, he reads the page like this, Allahu Akbar. He's looking in a big Quran, and then when he comes back, again he moves here. Then again he'll move there. And we're standing at the back. You understood? So the ulama who were there, they're telling me, what you saw is nothing. I say, what you mean? You see, when we read 8 rakats tarawih, after 4 rakats, then we have 10-15 minute break. Because we read 4 pages, we got very tired, you know? Understand? So then the kahwa comes, the coffee comes, then you must remember the dates come, tamar, you know, and then the hookah also comes. Imagine. So at least one brother had some, you know, common sense, no more common also. So he told him, bhai, you want hookah, at least put outside the masjid. So when we went, it was outside the masjid. See, when we don't have ulama. I went to the madrasa next day, I said, let me go see. Arab children. Their ustad is teaching them part one and all that. Nurani Kaida and all that. Alif, Ba, Arab children. The father realized that he lost everything. I don't want my children to lose everything. So our ulama are now teaching them. Amen. The alphabets, Arabic alphabet. Understand what? So brothers, if you look at South America, one side is joy that our ulama are doing. Other side, so much sadness. That our Arab brothers, that one brother, I remember, he stood up while I was speaking. He said, Sheikh, you know the Arabs, when you speak, they just stand up also. So I tell you what, he said, you don't know. In Palestine, we got too many spies. And even in this masjid, we got spies. So I told him, Sheikh, don't worry. In Junubi Africa also, we got a lot of spies. You understood? So this type of things. I say, I speak on the media. I tell my wife, even our phones are tapped and all this type of things. Because we live in a world like this, you don't know who's who, you know. So you must remember this stuff. So anyway, that was one of the lighter moments. Then from there, we went to Panama. Panama was very good. See one alim. The past 6 years or so, he leaves India. Hazrat Mufti Ismail Kacholwi, maybe some of you know him. He is there in Randair, he's the Sheikhul Hadith. First time I met him. And subhanallah, when I just entered the masjid, I was staying by the Kachalyas. Haji Nazir Kachalya, one of our brothers here, Dr. Mohsin Kachalya, arranged it. So mashallah, his house just near Medina Masjid, just 2-3 miles. When I entered there, I see so much activity, brothers reading Quran, somebody in Etikaf. I said, alhamdulillah. Then we sit there, Hazrat giving some nasihat and all these things. Then we came to know, first time I met Hazrat. He said he came to South Africa, but anyway. Nevertheless, so he was giving his lectures. Sometimes they would call me, give lecture, Jumma and all. Anyway, when you have an alim, and he spent the whole month in Etikaf, see 3 things that happened there. He said, Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Marqadahu's habit for years. As soon as he puts his foot in the masjid, he makes intention for Nafil Etikaf. So he, Mufti Ismail Sahib, said, one day he asked Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Marqadahu, Hazrat, aapke to etikaf bahut ho chuke hai. So many years you're making. He said, Hazrat looked at him and smiled and said, agar Allah ke yaha ek bhi kabool hai, to wo bhi kafi hai. You see, brothers? That is a big lesson we must learn. We do this, but we must ask for kabooliyat by all men. Mufti Ismail Sahib, in the last 10 days, I was there the 21st, 22nd night or whatever. He said, bhaiyo, I want to tell you, each majma mein 27 brothers sitting for etikaf in the heart of America. If you look at Panama, it is Central America. So he said ke jo fitna ka markaz hai, 27 people sitting for etikaf. And baz hazrat aise hai, in his lecture he is saying, he say, I don't want to take their names. Every day they read the entire Quran Sharif. Daily completing Quran. What a great thing it is, brothers. So we must remember, we became very close also, mashallah. That Azad used to call me and said then everything. So many things we learned from him also. So I asked him, Hazrat, kitne saal? So he said, 6-7 saal. So anyway, about 6 years, I think now, every year he goes there, he developed, built up a whole, you know, such an environment there. There's another masjid there, listen to this, brothers. Another masjid there, this is Madina Masjid. In town, there's a masjid there, Panama City, it's called Jumma Masjid. And there the imam is Mufti Abdul Qadir. He's from India, and he's serving the community. I don't know if there's any bhikkhu brothers here. You will know your history. See, when Allah wants to use somebody, does Baji, he left the West Indies, he left India and all that. The ship went to Barbados, this, that. I don't know, he was sleeping or what, and what. They left him in the ship. You see, the next time Baji opened his eyes, he landed up in Panama. See, now we are. Subhanallah, you know, Indian, wherever we are, we can do something, you know. Whether it's right way or gold mall, but we'll do something, understand? So, Baji, he did right thing. So, right in the heart, he managed to obtain some land and all that. Now, I told you just now, Hazrat Mawal Sinadwi, his brain, must I build my shop, must I build masjid? That's his prime property, right in the heart. Allah gave tawfiq, he said, put masjid. Subhanallah, right in the heart of the city. And that became his sadaqah jariyah. Till today you ask anyone who's old, he'll tell you, Baji Bhikkhu, the top man here, he brought Islam alive. That is the challenge for you, my brothers. Etro uplang ai pango, koro karna si. I just spoke some heaven there for my brothers there. So this type of thing. Huh? Go to Uruguay and put up your sadaqah jariyah there. So you must remember the thing. So anyway, my brothers, so that is the challenge there. Now see, we must give credit where credit is due. Very few of ulama go Panama. I tell him, no, I must go. So this, I want to see one thing. I love to see all these new things, you know. So I told Baji, Haji Sahab, me, I want to go to Darulum and Kabristan and all that. He said, At Itwarna, you speak Gujarati and all that. So my Gujarati is all right, it's possible, you know. I say, Baji, all right, we go to Itwarna. I say, no, Saturday, what are we going to do? So he say, all right, what you want? I say, no, I want to go to Panama Canal. He say, all right. So he drops me and Fatima there, so we go to Panama Canal. Man-made, brothers. What we got in Cape Town is natural, Maraj al-Bahrain. There is man-made. This side here is Pacific Ocean, that side is Atlantic Ocean. They made a canal. Subhanallah, they joined the two seas. 40 ships go this way and this way. 20 this way, 20 there, to and fro. It takes them 8 to 10 hours to cross the canal. And depending on the cargo and the size and everything. You look at it from on top. Because when we reached there, the lady told me, go quick, the last ship is going now. And then you won't see it, you'll have to wait till the afternoon. When we went there, subhanallah, engineering genius, you know. They make the water rise so it can be level with the sea. And then they drop the water, and what things they did. So I got a pamphlet, I started reading the history. August 1914, they built this canal. Over a million ships went to and fro. Now it's 2014 August. I went to visit it after 100 years existence. While I'm there, I asked them a question. I say, 100 years, how many times it was closed? They said, one day. I said, one day in 100 years? They said, yes. I said, why? He said, no, that time that army and all that, there was attack and war. So that one day, that was a few hours, but they closed it for them. I say, right through. Open, we got it all record document in our archive. I told Fatima, if there's Muslims, never mind somebody else, the Muslim one will stand there, one will stand there, we'll blow it up ourselves. Ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. That is what we do. 100 years. And now while I was there, they were giving out pamphlets, they said now they're starting a later, bigger expansion because some ships are so big now, they can't even go through there. You know, the jumbo ships, whatever you call them, like planes and whatever. So anyway, it was something worth seeing. We went to the Darul Uloom, no students there, it's holiday. See South Africa. How fortunate we are. You just go here, Darul Uloom, you go here, masjid, you go here. Kabristan, 40 kilometers away. I see, aapko itne wo aadmi waha pahunche, wo bhi mar jayega. And this type of things. So far it is in this type of things. But they say, no, these lotus. Anyway, from there you must listen to this here. This is the main part. We came to Venezuela. Subhanallah, when we come to Venezuela, then our ulama, there's a place called San Felix. So there they have three centers. The brother, we had supper together last week Sunday. Today is Thursday, he came now. Palestinian brother, far from deen, everything. He meets a Pakistani Jamaat. And his whole life turned. Proper Palestinian brother. Now he wears short kurta, like Pakistani, and the shilwar like. So they ask him, why you wear like this, you Arab? They say, the Pakistanis brought me into Islam. So I'm indebted to them, so therefore I wear these clothes. One. He put up a masjid, I had to perform Eid Salat there. Masjid Khulafai Rashidin. I asked him now, because they Ramadan time and all, a lot of people. The Shias, because he put up a masjid, they came to him with a check. $500,000. Take this and give us a masjid. He said, no. $800,000. Yes, they said, okay. Take a blank check, you put the amount, and we'll give it to you. See what test Allah Ta'ala gave. He said, I told them, I'm Muslim, I belong to Ahlul Sunnah, and I got nothing to do with you Shias. They got the Shia center, I went there. We hooted twice, two different days I went. Nothing happened, so I told them, Maulana, this place you must only come first Muharram, first 10 days, then something happens here. Otherwise they all join the jinnats, you know, understand. So anyway, so that is an important place. Our South African ulama are there. He went to court, the Sheikh Amir, the same brother. He said, I'm telling you, we're going to give adhan in a mic. This way, that way, they went to court, he won the case. Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, now they allow them to give adhan in a mic. Fajr, they said, no. That was the first place I could hear adhan, subhanallah. Nowhere else you hear adhan, nothing, just inside a masjid, outside you can't hear. See, brothers, when Allah gives hidayah. Then we went to another place there, San Jose. There, all these brothers from Guyana, West Indies, they're all English. So there was no problem. You just speak how long you want to and all that. And they also excited and everything, because now there are not many ulama there. So, mashallah, we went to Taraweeh there also, and at the Jummah there also. Then another place, brothers, we went is Unari. Shia person. Hey, Shia, I don't know, coming, going. Jamaat met him, everything. Subhanallah, he said, no, this I have to do. He joins the Tabligh Jamaat, he changes his life around, he built a whole masjid also. See how. Then we had Eid. By the time you all announced here and all that, after about 6 hours, there was sunset still. You know how many hours they were? I did program for New Zealand radio from there. Because last year I went to New Zealand. So they get my numbers and everything. Subhanallah, I told them, how do I do program for you? That I'm calculating you're 17 hours ahead of us. 17 hours, almost a whole day. They said, no, we do like this. You give us time, we'll record it and then we'll play it out. I said, yeah, let's do like that. So from there I used to do for their program. Like, it was like to do something strange. Brothers, I want all of you to pay attention to this incident. Eid, everything, mashallah. When I'm in Brazil, when I'm in Argentina, I see board everywhere. Madrasatu Hazim. So I asked, what's this? I found out, they say this family is in Valencia. But you can't go there, you must go by plane. I said, no, I got time, I can go. So okay. They phoned this way, that way, and we got booking. There to get... Venezuela is a crazy country. Let's speak about Venezuela a little bit. Petrol, brothers, 1 cent a liter, 1.5 cent a liter. 1 rand, you can fill up your whole tank. But it's good that, isn't it? What you say? So I must remember. They say $1 for the whole month. The Maulana said it happened already twice or thrice. There the money, I still got the money. Bolivia, they call it. Bolivia or something. I wanted to change it, they know they want to change it in Dubai and everywhere also. Anyway, they say mafi, you know. Okay, anyway. So, they say if you go with 100 note,
and they give the, you know, that Bowser brother there. You have got change, he fill your whole tank up, he just go, don't worry. Because how much you have to pay him, 3 or 4? You see? So you don't have change, you see, just fill up, he's alright. From my side, I give you ED. You understand? You made a whole tank in this time of time. But we went shopping a little bit there. I see everybody buying toilet rolls. Everyone there. I go, what's going on? So he also looked down, you see, for the past 3 months, there's no toilet rolls available here. Today, yesterday the Maulana must have sent it. I received it today because I said after Fajr. So I see the Maulana sent the email. He said, Maaf, I didn't reply you. 1 week there was no internet in Venezuela. So things just collapsed there as it is. One day we came for Tarawih, the whole road collapsed. So the infrastructure, you know, we're going to potholes and boreholes. There's even worse than that. The taxis are all Impalas. You know Impala, the big ones. But not new models, all old models in this time. So it's a very funny country. Some things are so cheap and some things are unavailable, not exist. Now, brothers, after Eid, I take a flight to Valencia. You get Valencia in Spain also, this is now this idea. You get Barcelona there, you get Barcelona. We went to all this. Anyway, we went to Valencia. Subhanallah, what is the story? You youngsters, you Salman and Ridwan and all you youngsters, listen to the story. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَنْ حَازِمْ. Who is Hazim? Let's tell you the story of Hazim. Hazim grows up, Palestinian family. They left in the 50s. The apartheid regime of Israel came into existence in May 1948. So they couldn't take it, their father, grandfather, they left. Intention dunya. Allah gave them so much. Palestinians. What cars and houses? They got planes and jets. They got planes and jets. Personal, they own it. Understand? So we go. The one brother, now the Maulana came to pick me up. So I asked him, Abkon? He said, no, I'm West Indies. I said, oh, you're working for them? He said, yeah. I said, let's go. So we go to the one brother there, his name Bashar. So Bashar is Hazim's cousin. Their fathers are brothers. So he tells me about Hazim. Bashar, you look at him, big beard, turban, he looked like a big sheikh and alim, but not in Jamaat. You see, Hazim's story is this, 13 years old, Jamaat started coming. Allah put such love in his heart, he just started making khidmat and das, and he's not even baligh, 13 years old. So anyway, now he becomes baligh, 17, 18, he's going for gersh, he's doing this, everything. Now he gets married also. Now he wants to do more and more. His parents, his brothers, all of them so upset with him, they disowned him. You Hazim, you get out from here. We're not speaking of now 1-2 rand and 1 million rand, and we're speaking of billions now. And you disowned. But subhanallah, Allah make means. When you make for Allah's sake, people can do what they want to. What to izzu man tasha, what to zilu man tasha. Hazim, don't worry. 1993, Jamaat went from South Africa. Hazim is busy with them. He came to South Africa also, 40 days here. 4 months he went there. They asked him, what you got? He said, I got a car on my name. He sold his car and he went. Subhanallah, when they said, you know, Saudi, they send that invitation to countries. Hafiz. So Hazim, not Hafiz, but he knew a lot from Quran. So they called him there for Qiraat competition. When they go for Qiraat competition, not always, sometimes they open the Kaaba, the Baytullah. They open the Kaaba, Musharrafah, Hazim went inside the Baytullah also. Young boy. Now his wife also a little bit this way and that. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with the baby daughter, Maryam. Subhanallah, is going on like this. Now, Hazim and his parents. Hazim, now he and his wife, little bit argument. His wife says, we want to go there, there's a nikah. He's 26 years old now, 1997. He tells his wife, no. I'll take you there after Isha. See, Allah's system. In that, he prepared his last will and he left it there. The wife didn't open it. The wife realized she's pregnant, she just conceived now. And she doesn't tell the husband. Because little bit, you know. He goes for Isha to the masjid where I had program. Subhanallah, 26 years old, 1997, he meets up with an accident, Hazim passes away, shaheed. From 13 years old to 26 years old, whole life in Jamaat basically. Making khidmat, all this. Now janaza. One brother is sitting in Germany, one is here, one is there. They come with their jets and whatever. They can't believe what they see. Hundreds of people. You don't get, you get 5-10 people for janaza. And the people are crying. The father, Abdul Hamid, I met him, 85 years old. So, they crying. Say, Hazim taught us this, Hazim taught us this, Hazim taught us. Because of Hazim, I changed my life. Now the father and the sons are looking. We disowned him, but today he's bringing so much honor to our family. Say, no, now we change our life. You see? Subhanallah, everyone changed. They all went 4 months. This, everything, Bashar, Bassam, Basi, Hasim, all of them, the whole lot they went. You look at them today, they're flying their jets for tabligh istimas here and there and all this. Allah's sister. Took them out from Palestine, intention wrong, but goodness in one son. Father must have done something good to somebody's duas. Now when I met the father, Abdul Hamid, they knew I'm coming. And I looked him in the eye, so I could see the sadness. So when we met, even he teared and I teared. Then I told them, I want to go to Hazim's grave. So the brother said, fine. I was staying in the brother's house. If I take Mountain Rise, Molana is the most posh area here, Marisburg. What is the most expensive house? 10 million rand, 20 million rand. Maybe. Right. So Hazim's brother. So he tells me, you stay by me. I don't know, sir, let me stay by you. What, you got no problem. We go there. I look at his house. So we became friends also. And he can't speak Arabic properly also. He, a little bit cut you. If you speak that word, I see what that word mean like that. English and already fluent. But Arabic. So anyway, so I speak to him. I say, how much is this house? About $4 million. $4 million, how much? 45 million, 50 million rand. But Allah changed the whole life for the sake of deen. When I met the father, he took out his phone and he said, this is my Hazim. Now can you tell the father, but you disowned him? Can you tell him? No. Allah gives everyone a second chance. See how Allah used Hazim. Subhanallah. Now I had to deliver a talk there for the ladies in Hazim's house. Hazim's wife comes. She meets Fatima. She can't meet me, obviously. She meets. So now when she's pregnant, the whole iddat 9 months she had to pull through. And Maryam was born already. Now Muhammad is born. But he never met his father, obviously. So you see, now he's becoming Hafiz and all these things here. So when you listen to all these kind of things, then you see Allah's deen, Allah uses whoever He wants. There's no such thing that we Indians and we Apra and we Mehman and Gujarati and Urdu. Allah's deen don't work like that. Allah will choose whoever He wants for His deen. Remember that. So therefore what we have to do, make that dua. Ya Allah, make me the khadim of your deen. I never even dreamt in my wildest dreams one day I'll be lecturing here and there in South America and all these things here. And now the emails come, you must come again and this. End of the day, my brothers, I want to speak to this for 1 hour. I looked at the watch. I'm coming to the ending of the first part. What is needed is for many, many ulama to go. Allah give them jazai khair. I saw them crying. I saw their sacrifices. So you, my young ulama, make up your mind. Make mashura, everything. But one way. You go like Tariq bin Ziyad. When he left North Africa, they crossed the ocean. They went into Iberia, what is called Portugal and Spain. He took his 7 ships. He burnt it. He said, Allah, we will establish the deen here or we give our life. 785 years. Islam stayed in Andalus. What, 5 years ago I was there. So you must remember Muslim Spain. Subhanallah. That is the spirit we need. We can't become like them, but at least we can imitate a little bit. So remember, ulama, jamaats, we don't need visa, nothing. South America is very good. You just go, mashallah. So, and they're very, very courteous, very, very friendly. I told you, over-friendly also. So this type of thing. But one advice, don't go alone. You understand? Unless now it's 5, 6 brothers, jamaat is different. But you go alone, it's more dangerous and all this thing. Okay, brothers, the part one we finish. Quickly, 5 minutes, let me tell you about part two. What is happening in Gaza? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا غَزَّةَ We told you about Hazim Rahimahullah. When I went to the grave with Hazim, I really cried. Because he himself was crying so much. So we both made a lot of dua there. And his grave is very ajeeb in this sense. When you see a Hazim's grave, all the graves around there, big, big tombstones, and you know, they got that non-Muslim culture. So, and you look at Hazim's grave, plain, nothing, not even his name is written there in this type of thing. But see the izzat Allah is giving. From where and where people, the elders all went there also, to meet them, and they also went. So anyway, brothers, so what is Gaza? Today, every day on your TV, radio, newspaper, see today, what happened? I parked my car, there, you know, long-term parking at Over Tambo. So I'm in the shuttle. I'm like this. So the security guy comes with a big gun like this. So he look at me. He say, Hare Krishna. Hey, no, Hare Krishna. AK-47. He look at me. I say, all right. He make like this and he go away. So now, you sit in the plane. Now they give you, you know, this newspaper. First page, they got that Muslim, if it's Muslim, Allah knows. And now he's going to chop that guy's head off, behead him, that folly or whatever, that journalist. So this guy, a white guy, I offered him some food. So he started, I'm reading, so you see, what you say about this? I say, very good question. You see, when these people ask, you must. I say, you see, he in this plane. I'm a Muslim, these other Muslims, you can see them there. Leave. You go to any one of them and ask them. Even if they don't know much about Islam. These actions got nothing to do with Islam. So he's very surprised. He said, got nothing. I said, no. He said, then why? I said, you, your governments, your British government, American government, they pay the agents and they do all these things and the agenda and the ulterior motive is to present such an image of Islam to distort the entire message. Now he looks at me, is that so? I say, I don't know you, what's your name, anything, I'll ask you a question. All this going on in Gaza and all, for them we say Gaza, the proper term is Gaza. I say, what you think is going on in Palestine and Israel? You think all this is going on for human rights and democracy, or is going on for oil? So he looks at me and smiles. He says, of course it's for oil. So I said, in Africa there's so many genocides, so many problems, nobody comes. Because the truth of the matter, sir, is you kicked me out from my house. You kicked me out from our shop. When I was a little boy, you came and you said, police, get out from here. And I told him, you did that to us. And today you are doing the same thing to our Palestinians. So tomorrow when the young boy grows up, what you expect him to do? If I was there, I told him, I also will shoot and kill. What you expect to do? You steal our land, you steal our masajid, you destroy our children. Look at your statistics. Your statistics is showing more than 2,000 people killed, more than 500 of them are children, and majority of them are innocent people. Our figures are, we dispatched 300 soldiers of you straight to hell. People in uniform, they are legitimate targets. Your figure is 70 and 80, but we know it's 300 and more. In the ending, when we were landing, I said, I don't know your name, sir, but tell me all these arguments I raised with you, do you agree? He laughed and he said, yes, I agree. I took out my hand, I said, thank you. He said, my name is Bruce, and I do a lot of business with Muslims. In the ending, that's what he told me. So, you must never apologize for Islam and never compromise for Islam. Remember that lesson. That is the biggest thing, tragedy we're going through today. So my brothers, what is going on? The Jews, see, where is their president? You know their president. Israel has a president, his name Katzef. Where is Katzef? The Israelis love rifles. He couldn't look after his own rifle. He raped some woman. He's lying in jail. You understood? President of Israel, Katzev. If you go ask any Jutla, he'll tell you. Their Prime Minister, Olmert, he said, shoot these Palestinians, just kill them. Today, he's in jail. Former President, former Prime Minister, all in jail. They kill one Wali of Allah, the founder of Hamas, Sheikh Ahmed Yasin, rahimahullah, paraplegic, neck downwards. They sent the F-16 when a man emerged from the masjid after Fajr. For 8 years, Allah put Sharon in Sakarat. Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantu bil harb. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. You behave enmity against a friend and wali of mine, I declare war against you. What is this all going on? Remember that they want the Palestinians to move out. Ethnic cleansing. They want the back portion of Aqsa, which some of you, I'm sure you've been there, and where the Qubbatu Sakhra is, openly they say it now. We're going to demolish this and replace it with Haikal-e Sulaimani. So what they did in Masjid Khalilur Rahman in 1994, 15th Ramadan, when Baruch Goldstein, a Jew from South Africa, know your history, South Africans. Baruch Goldstein, South African, Jew went, he entered Masjid Khalilur Rahman, Fajr time, 800 brothers reading Salat, and he popped the gun and he shot 29 of them, died immediately. It was a Saturday, I stood up in the masjid in Newcastle. Maulana and them were still studying. 94, you were still there. So I stood up in a town masjid because I heard it there, and I rushed to the town masjid. I said, let me go make the announcement there. Everybody must start reading. And the death toll, 70 Muslims passed away. Masjid Salah. Some injured, some succumbed to the injuries after a few days and so forth. So you must remember this. The tragedy, brothers, is that we don't know what our priorities are. Now I did Q&A for Voice of the Cape. Now I don't know what they're going to ask. So he says, Mufti, this brother says, he never makes dua. Allah Ta'ala wrote everything down, so why must I make dua? You see, all the shaitan was waswasa. So I told, what are the virtues of dua? Then I said, brother, go read Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the last verse. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَغُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْ لَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Tell them, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you don't make dua, then even I don't bother about you. Brothers, be honest, when last we cried for Gaza? Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born in Gaza in the year 150. Imam Shafi entered Egypt 199. Imam Shafi passed away 204. Imam Shafi became Hafiz at the age of 7. Imam Shafi by hearted mortar, Imam Malik when he was 10 years old. Who's there to tell the world all these things? Go ask Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who's a Shafi. They ask his celebrated student, his greatest student, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, tell us about your Ustad Shafi'i. He said, you ask me of Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris? A Shafi'i ka shamsi li dunya. How the sun illuminates the world. Shafi came, Muhammad Idris rahimahullah. He illuminated. I'm 57, he was 54 years old when he passed away. He illuminated the whole world with his knowledge. See, brothers, that is the history of Gaza. He was 2 years old. His mother took him away from Gaza and then took him to Makkah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage, when you go, you find Hashim. Some Hashim, ya Haji sahab, no Hashim? What's the meaning of Hashim? Hashim means baker, make bread and all this. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great-grandfather Hashim is buried in Gaza. For Jutlas, what it means? They bomb everything. So you must understand what is our history. Israel is placed there by America and Britain. You saw what George Galloway said to the British Parliament last week? I told him, Bruce, this white guy. I said, there's a gentleman, he's not a Muslim, as far as we know, Allah knows best, but I told him he's not Muslim, that because George Galloway say you can have this little, what homosexuality and that is very, anyway. So, I said, you go to his website and you'll get all his lectures, you listen to it with an open mind. So he said, okay, I'll do that. I said, you heard of George Galloway? So he kept quiet, he didn't answer. So anyway, that George Galloway in British Parliament last week, 2 weeks ago, he said, I'm addressing you, the House. Who gave Arthur Balfour the right to take another person's land and to give it to another person. And we, the British Parliament, we were the one who did all this transfer. We oversaw all that. It is time for the British Parliament to address this issue and correct that error they did in 1948. Then Muslims will help Israel. That's the tragedy. And you find one, two countries, this, that. Under Mursi, Hafiz, Dr. Muhammad Mursi, is in jail. Sisi is Ibnul Yahudiya. His mother is a Jew, Jewess. He himself is half Jew also. Last week there was a cartoon about him. I don't know if anybody of you picked it up in the Arabic newspapers. They opened the Baytullah, the Kaaba for him. So, we went also with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. So, now when you go inside the Kaaba, you can read anywhere. So he asks his chamchas, his spies, anal Qibla. I suppose half the crowd didn't understand the joke also. That's how simple we are also. He's inside the Kaaba and asking them, where's the Qibla? Understood? So this is a buzruks we got, bush crooks. You understand? So anyway, brothers, you must remember these things here. Mursi, 1 year he ruled. He made sure in that bombing of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they genius, these Palestinians. That the Israelis, what they ate, what they others, they only destroyed 31 tunnels. Osama Hamdan and came from CII. Alhamdulillah, this is one thing, not because I, but this is the truth. That we have very good contact with all these guys. And every day we speak about something else. That's very good, alhamdulillah. So anyway, Osama Hamdan and them said, what the 31 tunnels? We made 1,000 tunnels underground there. Understood? So from Egypt, they used to, under Morsi's time, thousands of arms used to go through. So they well prepared. The only way the cowards is Israelis, just like the Americans. They can only hit from the top. If they come on the ground, with all their sophistication, they sent 300 of their soldiers straight to hell. For what Israel wanted the ceasefire? They wanted the 3-day ceasefire. Hamas got all their arms. Shahadat for us is an honor. For them to lose one soldier is $1 billion. Because it's not ordinary. From small, they groom them and all these things. So brothers, you must understand. And let me make one thing clear. You must forget this Abu Mazin. You know Abu Mazin? Abu Mazin, in the Arab world, they call him Abu Mazin. And that side, we call it, in the world, they call him Mahmoud Abbas. Mahmoud Abbas is not even a Muslim. Mahmoud Abbas is a Baha'i. Imagine the shame and disgrace of this Ummah. How are we going to face Nabi alayhi salam? That we allow Masjidul Aqsa to be negotiated by a Baha'i. Is that not a shame and a disgrace for the Ummah and for the Muslim countries? That is. We need to understand what's going on. So that is this side. Come to Iraq quickly, because every day you've got somebody got question. Well, there's ISIS and them in Daesh, in all that they call them, you know, the Daesh. So the Dawlatul Islamiyah and all these type of things, little Iraq and all. So anyway, that we say they are, so that Bruce, I told him, these are your agents. It's nothing to do with Islam. This. So we believe that the agents working either for Israel, either for America, either for Britain, they'll kill few this and all that, take Islam's name. So the war is on against Islam. يُرِيدُونَ أَيُّتْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَخْوَاهِمْ. So we need to be very careful, brothers. Who? You see, there's a lack of leadership. Now when anybody makes noise, people just want to join him. Sayyidina Ali was a linguist par excellence, Arabic language. He had one saying, كُلُّ نَعَارٍ يُتَّبَى. Every person who can shout slogans, he'll get lot of followers. You understand? So these chaps here, they look for somebody, nice name, Abu Bakr Baghdadi. Make him the Khalifa. And this type of thing. Remember, there's nothing to do with Khilafat. Islam never allows you, just go, anybody oppose you, you kill them. Muslim or non-Muslim, how can you do that? So the aim is to tarnish Islam. You must remember these things. So end of the day, brothers, now what?
We can do 4 or 5 things. We can make dua. We can go to these areas, take some help, humanitarian help, all these things. Third thing is that we start reading, iqra, serious reading, not the Mickey Mouse reading and all these things. Fourth one, we must remember that watch out with whom we affiliate ourselves. Today, this, you take South Africa today. The emails I get, I can't believe myself, I was out of the country for four weeks, I was gone there, and before that I was gone for 2 weeks, Sri Lanka and Malaysia and all that. So brothers, there I don't see all these emails and all that traveling. So anyway, you just see the absolute confusion going on. So remember that we have to do what we know is correct. Join, do three things. Join the ulama, al-haq. Number two, that you join the tabligh jamaat, you join the khanka, you do whatever you want to, what is suitable, but make sure we are connected to somebody. Otherwise, this morning also I answered one email. The lady writes, they say, Mufti Sahab, I know of so many girls have joined the modeling school, the music industry, and I am telling you, they are out of the fold of Islam already. See, even they feeling it, our own sisters, going into such things. It can happen to our daughters, our sisters. Only Allah can protect us, brothers. So I beg you, I urge you, be very careful what signal message we are sending to our children, to our new generation. Everything now is free, you know. So everything is legal. What Argentina is, what Brazil is, what more haram children than halal, more illegitimate than legitimate. So now it's happening here already. So Allah Ta'ala alone can protect us, but we must show like Hazim, rahimahullah, our devotion, dedication. So Allah Ta'ala accept us all. Allah Ta'ala make hifazat of iman. Okay, quick brothers, anybody got questions? Fire up anything. My name is AK Hussein. Don't make now AK-47 and I-57 now. I don't want no organization's name, no country's name, nothing. You want to ask, you can ask any question, but don't say what you say others and this. You want to ask anything, you ask. I got no problem with that. But don't take anybody's name, no person, no organization. It's fine, ask whatever you want to. See, quickly, brothers, anybody. If you ask directly, don't want to, I must give Maulana's number, then you will make all uplang questions. You know? Yeah. Huh? Technology, they say. See, Ajit Sahib, you better start. What I did, I'm Musafir. One person I gave lecture, so he said, Mufti, what have you did? I said, I'm Musafir, I don't have to read for also. So, Allah Ta'ala says, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Allah Ta'ala did not burden any person more than his ability. That person can manage working, going to shop, going to sale, all that, then he can read 20 rakats tarawih. And if he can't, you know, do anything, he can just read Isha and Witr, then he must do that. But we can't say now that he can do all these worldly things, but now for tarawih he wants another discount. No, don't work like that. Jummah ghusl is sunnah, it's not farz. So if you can make the ghusl and with that bag and what have you, if you can cover it or whatever, that portion don't get wet or whatever, it's fine. It's not a problem. Yeah. It's fine. No problem. It's fine. No problem. See, come quick, brothers. Any questions? Quick. Not when I'm walking out now. We must still go have supper, you know. So, see. Then you come whisper in my ears and all. Anything, the floor is open. Ask whatever you want. I give you all 5, 10, 15 minutes. Brush. No problem. No questions. I see in today's paper they gave him discount. But a beautiful country, mashallah. Think about it, you 2-3 families go there, put up a masjid. Allah Ta'ala make it our sadaqah jariya. Jee, anything else? Come quick, brothers. No questions. Finish. Huh? Your people's Moana. Where's that Nizam? Where's Nizam? Oh, he's not there.
So when I saw Abdul Ghani, I said, Nizam is your brother. He said, yeah, mashallah, he's doing very well there and everything. And where he is, I didn't go there because no time and all that. So anyway, the ulama, you'll know him, so I just take his name. So anyway, what's your name? How's father? Allah gives. No, Abdul Ghani is top, he's very well. All of them are doing well, mashallah. They get with such himmat, courage, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. Okay, we can make dua finish? Everybody? Huh? No question. Ji. Bilkul. Bilkul, sahih farmaya. For those brothers who didn't understand Urdu, our brother is a nice good point. He said that when we were, I mentioned that what's happening now in Iraq and all those places, that he asked me one question, this Bruce. I told him, ask whatever you want. He said, where the Kurds fit in all this? I said that I don't know how much you know about Islam. I said the Kurds are Sunnis, they're not Shia, and they are there because they want their autonomy and they're entitled to it. So that is, so I was explaining to him that. Our brother here mentioned in Urdu, he said that I mentioned the word agent. That these are the agents of the West and they are causing so much problems and to tarnish the image of Islam, distort the entire image of Islam. So the brother says this happened already in time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, and it's true. That time also there were agents and everything. They used to use, last week khutbah, Sheikh Sudais gave, he mentioned the same thing. He said from time of the Khawarij, they used to use the slogans of Quran, Inil hukmu illa lillah, that only the rule of Allah, no arbitration and all these things here. So, Sayyidina Ali used to say, kalimatu haqqin, the verse you are quoting is the truth, wa iradatul batil, but the interpretation you are making, that is null and void and is false. So, the 100% we agree with the brother, that the agents were from that time already. So remember from time of Nabi alayhi salam also, there were spies and nurses and all these type of things. So each one of us should know, therefore I mentioned to you, that be very careful with who we mingle, with who we associate, with who become affiliated to. Because instead of listening properly, we just start practicing on emotions and we create bigger problems and this type of thing. Okay brothers, this being for 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah, the questions are coming. Ji. No, alhamdulillah. When I was there, the Amir from, I forgot to tell you, the Amir from Chelli came, Abdullah Saud. He's also a Ajib story. Subhanallah, if you listen to his story, how he came and so forth. So the work of Dawat Tabligh, mashallah, is doing excellent work there. And from here also, mashallah, if you can go, you must join. Ji, somebody had their hand up there. Ji. We must remember that as far as the Arab countries go, I just told you just now that majority of them will have to look at the White House first. Then they'll take decisions. Nobody will take decision. Now see, for us it's disgrace actually. When you meet Hamas, you meet Palestinians, they will tell you Iran is helping us. It's not a smack in our face. We got how many Sunni countries, but they say, no, Iran is helping us. You understand? And Iran always uses that as a propaganda. It suits them fine. When I was in Iran last year, and I was discussing with one, two of them, oh, you meet, and say, no, we're not like this. See how we help Palestine. So they are helping, it suits them fine. They use it very well as a propaganda tool as well. They are helping to a certain extent, but they take so much mileage out of this thing. So the point is this, as long as we're going to fear America, fear White House, fear this one, fear that one, we can't take now. I gave a talk, some of you, Maulana never present. So for the ulama and the students, in the starting, I just told the youngsters, I said, see, three things you need. Ask yourself what you're doing here in this Darul Uloom. What is your intention? You can't just come without intention. You must have an intention. Second, what is your aim and objective? You play soccer, you want to score goals. You want to play cricket, you want to bowl a batsman out, whatever. What is your goal? What is your objective? You must know that. You can't just be enrolling in this now, I'll make istikhara after 5 years. And it don't work like that. We must know what we're doing. And third thing, and this is your weakness, and I told you, I travel to all these countries and I see this weakness is glaring in our eyes. Till the ulama are not independent, then maneuvering becomes very difficult. Because we got this family, we got this organization, we got, and now we are under them. And because we affiliate with the rich, so we have to dance to their tune and all that. I said, that is a big, big downfall. You must maintain your independence wherever you are. Once you can do that, then you don't have to fear anybody. You speak the truth. People like, don't like, it's not our business. You must remember this thing. Jutlas, how many times they warned us, warned me. And alhamdulillah, after that we went to Palestine, we went to the border, and I knew they wouldn't allow me. They said, get out from here. We say, we'll come back, inshallah. So we must never fear. You must remember these things here. And be independent. Never now. No, this Baji gave me 1,000 rand, 10,000, 100,000. Now we can't speak again. That is what's happening in the Muslim countries. Very sadly. Therefore, they don't say Mufti, they say Grand Mufti. Before he gives the fatwa, you have to give a grain also. Understand? So that is the whole thing. It's very sad, but it's the reality. Chalo bhaiyo, ji, do. Ji, Haji sahab, I get the most sawalat. Libya. Remember, Allah alone knows what will happen, but two things I'll tell you. This whole mess will only get sorted out properly when Hazrat Mahdi comes, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. But we must not adopt a defeatist attitude. We can't be giving up hope and this type of things and say, no, just leave it. Whatever we can do. Allah is not going to question that about him and him. What you did, I gave you so much money, I gave you so much energy, I gave you so much this. You understand? I don't want to, but now you took it out, so I just... Last week I was in Trichat. So one Maulana came to me, he said, I want to tell you a story. I said, I'm listening. He said, yeah, there's one Hindu or Tamil or something. So Allah alone knows by mistake he caught your tafsir. You understand? Hindu. Yeah, they listen to the radio. So every day he start listening. He said, well, this chap is speaking a lot of sense. This thing here, our idols, there's something crooked in them. You understand? Subhanallah. So I didn't even know. He said, it happened a long time ago. So he said, that person, I became Muslim. So we must take the message. You must remember. People are thirsty for what they tango and dancing the whole night and all this thing. They do not know better. They want their peace. They want us. We have to give them the best replacement. And the best replacement is Islam. They fed up with their own religion. So we must take Islam. We have the best. We have to share it with the rest. That is our duty. Remember? Any way we can do it, as long as it's permissible, so Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, inshallah. So hello brothers, now I'm also tired. So make dua, inshallah. Make dua for South America and all of them, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم في غزة يا رب العالمين اللهم انصرهم في العراق وفي أفغانستان وفي بلاد الشام وفي كل مكان يا حي يا قيوم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم
اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله